Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and t-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsack.
And I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and this is one of our News and Cues episodes. We have some great cues, and Ken, I am just thrilled. I am vibrating within the Force to discuss our news this week.
Oh, we've got some big news. Finally, Lucasfilm called us and said, Force Center, when are you recording your news show? We said, same as always, Monday morning. They said, all right, we'll meet in the middle, compromise. We got the big news about Anakin Skywalker, Ahsoka, and the big questions and anticipation around it. We'll get to that shortly. But as always, we want to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, as always, we'll have our Force Center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. Now, I'm going to start actually putting the words back into the sentences that I need to say right now.
I think I'm going to go this next offer and maybe just take out every other word. Just freshen it up. See if I can do that. Insight, publisher, ton. Great. I think that makes sense.
Done.
Anyway, here it is with all the words. We have another offer. Inside Editions, publisher of a ton of great Star Wars books. They're offering 35% off across their website if you use this special link, insideeditions.com/discount/FC35. This week, we're recommending the Inside Editions book, Secrets of the Sith. Why? Why would we recommend this book of darkness? Well, because it's great, and we'll be discussing it on our deep dive episode later this week. This is all just the thoughts of Sheev Palpatine with pictures. So what's not to like? Again, you can use the link insideeditions.com/discount/FC35.
Love that. Can't wait to dive into that book on Thursday. And Sheev's got some thoughts. We've got some thoughts coming up on news again in a bit, but we always like to catch up with our Star Wars adventures, life adventures. Joseph, did Star Wars once again manage to find its way into your life?
It always does, no matter what. This was a good week of balance where I love Star Wars, obviously, as listeners of this podcast know. But I also want to make sure that I have time for other things, and this was a good week of balance. I got some good writing done, some good just kind of life work done. I finished reading a James Bond book. It was great. And then I was like, I haven't had a Star Wars adventure outside of preparation for the actual podcast. You know, I read Secrets of the Sith and read the news and looked at my action figures, all the normal stuff I do. So then this was one of those weeks of like, how is Star Wars going to creep in? And it crept in the form of a tea bag. I made some nice calming tea, which I sometimes like in the afternoon. And this brand of tea I get has little quotes, on the paper at the top of the bag. And I often take pictures of them because sometimes they're kind of funny or weird. And this one was, "Let your energy be used to build, not destroy." I think I got that tea bag out right after you and I had been recording some of our episodes for last week, and you and I have been talking a lot about the dichotomy in Star Wars of hope versus fear and how destructive the dark side is, that they're not just two sides of the same coin. Like, whoa. One side of that coin rots and makes things worse. It's not great. Not great. Not great to pursue. It's natural that it's there, but it's not great to say, "Let me pursue this." So I just thought it was kind of great that this tea bag was like, "Hey, don't forget these philosophies of Star Wars are, in some ways, they're everywhere, right?"
Right.
What we like about Star Wars is it packages all of these ideas in this very specific way, tied to these specific characters and events, and it gives us this entry point to these ideas that are in some ways fundamental, and you can find them many places. And it was really fun this week to find them on my tea bag.
Star Wars finds a way. It finds a way.
Yeah, exactly. So that was my big Star Wars adventure, is a tea bag. Did you have a more exciting Star Wars adventure than drinking tea?
I mean, I got to be honest, no, other than the research and nothing that's calming tea that provides wisdom from the Jedi. It was, a week of Force Center work that was my Star Wars adventures, which is always wonderful, right? You and I are always fortunate that this is what we get to do with a lot of our time. Mm-hmm. The only thing I did, I powered through, and that can be taken as a negative term, but it was also just the way I buy my Star Wars comics now is I wait until my comic shop manager emails me and goes, "Hey, Ken, you got a ton of comics here. You want me to mail them out?" Yeah. So I got a big, it was a big box. I'm not even going to say the cost, but it was one of those, the receipt came and I went, "Oh, this is how much I'm spending on comics. Yikes." But I sat down and the War of the Bounty Hunters thing is going on. And there's a lot. It's a lot. And you and I don't talk about comics a lot on the show a lot of times because we're just really behind. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot going on with them. I've loved a lot of the Star Wars comics over the years. I've been indifferent to some of them, and it is what it is, and you can engage with them if you want. There's some great stuff in them, but they're doing a great job in this modern age of connecting all eras. So there's Sly Moore standing with Ochi of Bastoon. There's Leia looking at Kira. There's Kira fighting Vader. There's all these kind of things. It can get a little wild at times, I will admit that, but it just kind of, I don't know, but put it upon my heart, Joseph, that we are in this wonderful era where there's so much Star Wars to choose from, and they can interact, and there's fun ways to make them interact. And then therefore, I almost feel like it's an opportunity for all generations of fans to come to the table and find something to enjoy. It was a good reminder of how vast Star Wars always was and now is.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. And I'm really excited to dig into the War of the Bounty Hunters. I think that, you know, it's intriguing. It's fun. It's a great title, all that. But the Kira is the big magnet for me of like, I want to get caught up on the War of the Bounty Hunters. For me, for the comics, sometimes I like waiting until the storyline is complete, right? Or the arc. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times in modern comic book storytelling, you know, you get all these great visuals, but you get just kind of a snippet of story.
Yeah.
And for me, sometimes it's more satisfying when like, okay, this 6-issue arc is complete. I'll read that all at once. So I'm excited to dig in once things are complete.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really know what you're saying. I really like all of the different ways that you could engage with Star Wars publishing right now, with like the High Republic being like, do you want to start fresh?
Yeah.
Do you want to invest in mostly brand new characters? You got Yoda Bacon on the side, but mm-hmm. You got Yaddle teaching a little bit, but mostly invest in all new. Or do you want to have this great mix of like, you know, you can't get more classic than Vader, but Kira's still kind of brand new, and really breaking down those boxes of, you know, prequel era, sequel era, Yeah. The animated series, and going like, nope, they all exist in the same galaxy. And if they have reason to interact, like Han Solo is a big block of frozen MacGuffin, then they're going to interact.
They're going to interact. And yeah, even High Republic, where there's obviously clear references to things in the High Republic we've either known or yet to have discovered. And that's fun as well.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
So there you go. Some Star Wars comic adventures, some teabag adventures. That's right. We are all over the map here today. But let's get to the Star Wars news. No reason to wait any longer on this big story. Ahsoka and Anakin together again. Maybe? Allegedly? Well, here's the story. The Hollywood Reporter dropped this exclusive. Hayden Christensen will, I say, allegedly be back as Anakin in the Ahsoka series. Again, allegedly, because technically, Lucasfilm, Disney, no one has confirmed this, except Rosario Dawson, who made a social media post seemingly confirming this. Something about, hey, Sky Guy, they know, sincerely, Snips. You can't find that around anymore, except for the people that saved it. So, hey.
She got a call from Mickey Mouse himself saying,
Rosario. We need to talk. So yes, that's kind of where we're at. And look, we always say this, Hollywood Reporter, they've got legit journalists doing their movie journalist thing here, calling, getting sources, meeting in shadows in parking lots to get the information. Who knows? This is not to disparage other people who occasionally run with exclusives, but that's just kind of where we are in not just Star Wars news coverage, but movie news coverage and news coverage, where you have to really be careful of who's giving you this information, even if it's information you love. I think it's safe to say, Joseph, that we love this information, and that's where we'll start the discussion, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Love the information. Very excited to get into all the Star Wars excitement of it. But yeah, I'm with you. We've said it before. Like, yep, absolutely. Some exclusives turn out to be absolutely true, but I personally do trust them a little bit more when they're from a really established trade, like a Hollywood Reporter.
Absolutely. And look, I'm all for a good conspiracy, too. Is this information leaked so that it'll hide some other big reveal? Yeah, I hope so. That's even more fun. They did that a little bit, I thought, with Mandalorian last season. But again, that's your tinfoil hat conspiracy.
Confirmed.
Yeah. Did Favreau give us a Fett so that he could hide the Luke? Who knows?
I think what I hear you saying is that Babu Frick is for sure in the Ahsoka series, and they're hiding it with Anakin.
Absolutely is what it is here. So let's discuss. There's a lot to talk about this news story. I think we're going to start with the first one, the one I've seen go around a lot. So it's our turn to have this discussion. How will he show up in the Ahsoka series, which is, we do believe, set post Return of the Jedi, mostly post Return of the Jedi. Who knows? Flashbacks, Force Spirit. World between worlds. Joseph, this is the great debate of our time, or this week. What do you got?
I kind of would lean toward all or some of the above, I guess. Yeah. I think a flashback is totally possible. I think that I still think that is possible for Kenobi. I think that's still likely for Kenobi, because I don't think that it is just going to be Hayden in the suit. I think it's possible also that there is reason for the mask to be damaged or reason for the mask to be taken off, all that.
Sure.
But I also think that that a flashback I think it's very possible because it would make a lot of sense for Ahsoka to be thinking back on things.
Mm-hmm.
I think Force Spirit is possible, but I kind of don't think Force Spirit as we think of it. I don't know. Like the way that Force Spirits traditionally have appeared, in my opinion, in my analysis, mm-hmm. is when a character is in deep need, a spirit appears to try to help a character still in this mortal realm mm-hmm. move forward. We haven't ever seen that with Anakin other than whispering to Rey, which is kind of different. But I don't think it's like, you know, Ahsoka's going to be having a hard time, you know, on a rough planet like Hoth and Falderanese, and Anakin's going to be like, Ahsoka, here's what you need to do to move forward. I think that it's more likely of Ahsoka to go to a Mortis-like place mm-hmm. or a world between worlds place or a temple or a Tython-like place or do some sort of rare, deep sort of meditation and encounter a Force Spirit version of Anakin that has what is to me the keyword ambiguity. Mm-hmm. Filoni again and again in his interviews and in his actual work when he has been writing and creating in the realm of the Force Netherworlds, he has so been a proponent of ambiguity.
Yeah.
He has never been a proponent of Anakin's Force Spirit is going to return and he's going to explain X, Y, and Z, you know?
Right.
When you think of things like the Bendu, the world between worlds, Mortis, obviously a ton of that came from Lucas and Filoni himself didn't script it, but he still evoked that. Exactly what's going on, you know, Kanan and in Doom, you know, the wolf, it's pretty clear, but there's room to fudge. It's just sort of like, there's lots of different ways for people to pass into the Force, into the cosmic Force, and still talk to us. Mm-hmm. What's the deal with the Convor? Like, almost everything that Filoni has touched within the sort of spirit world has had a little bit of fuzz around the edges on purpose. And I think that flashback or Force Spirit with some fuzz around the edges with some room for ambiguity.
First of all, what's the deal with the Convor? Joseph Scrimshaw's new comedy album coming out soon on Netflix. I couldn't agree with you more. There's something about the flashbacks sounds awesome. If you're just looking at, say, the stuff in Rebels that Filoni is obviously very aware of, as he put it out there along with his team. So revisiting that, not necessarily saying that moment's going to be remade in live action, but I'm just playing around with that. There's some emotion to be, you know, stirred up from that. The traditional Force Spirit, like you're saying, Anakin sitting on a log, having that conversation. I think a lot of people are excited about that potential, but what you're describing is what I could be looking forward to here is Filoni. I think you and I are more than other people quick to point out. Many other people have worked with Dave and alongside Dave, the great guy. But I get he's the focal point. And he's very protective of Ahsoka and he's behind the series. But I do trust and love Dave as a Star Wars artist. And this is one of the things where I'm looking to an artist. And if this is going to come to pass, I almost, you know, can't. In my feeble brain, I can't predict what this artist will do. He's going to take it to a level that I probably don't expect. And I think you're saying some things that I can really see Dave exploring with, especially the ambiguity of, hey, you know, who knows what Anakin's saying? Who knows if it's true, if it's canon, it's an answer. Is he going to pull out a flowchart? So the Convor is actually the daughter and the daughter. Like, are we going to get that answer? It's possible, but I don't think so.
And I think we could get those answers lightly implied, you know?
Yes, which will then spur countless podcasts and fuel the podcast industry, all the stuff, because I think he recognizes the value of that. He loves to explain why that a lot of the choices are made, but he also reminds me of a Trent Reznor or David Bowie who are like, or one of your favorites, David Lynch, of this is my art, you interpret it. I got mine, but I ain't saying much. Yeah. And I think Dave does like a lot of that in Star Wars. And maybe later the answers come, or maybe explains it when he needs to explain it. But, you know, he loves that. It's not just cheeky stuff. It's not just cheeky. I think it's the power of the storytelling. And that is what I'm looking forward to. If they meet, they interact, it's probably in ways I can't imagine.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's important to remember that there's still plenty of ambiguity in Ahsoka's actual timeline. You know, rewatched the end of World Between Worlds before we recorded, and like, yeah, she goes back to Malachor.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly when,
right.
You know, not confirmed in the episode to me, you know, so there's that also that possibility of, you know, she, you know, what is she going through on Malachor? How long is she there? We don't know exactly what all the show is going to cover. In theory, her kind of moving forward on this search for Thrawn and therefore Ezra, but jumping back and forth in time, I think also creates all these opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's funny. It's like we're still, I think everyone's kind of correctly assuming Ezra, Thrawn, Sabine and whatnot. That's still in such a far off rumor place. Who knows? And even then, if they're going to go there, they're going to go there in a way we don't expect. So I'm excited. I'm more excited for the show than I ever was. And I was pretty excited because I do love Ahsoka and I want to see the continuation or the conclusion of some of the big stories that involve her. But this does excite me on a lot of levels. Just the thought of him coming.
Yeah. Yeah. And this might be stepping on one of your later questions you've thoughtfully laid out. But I think the huge thing for me, the biggest thing to me about this news is, yeah, I'm excited to see Hayden back. I'm excited to see the character of Anakin. But as soon as I see this, all I think about is Ahsoka. I think Anakin is going to be in this to tell Ahsoka's story.
Yeah.
Because we know that she went through many traumas, but in particular, this confirmation that Anakin fell, that she's not going to be able to reach him, that he is willing to kill her. And it would seem from her appearance in Mando, whatever else we learn about her timeline and exactly what she's been up to during the Galactic Civil War, it seems like during Mandalorian, it is a real choice to make sure that we, the audience, know she is hurting from what happened to Anakin.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that line that everybody got real excited about of like, you know, I've seen what can happen to even, you know, powerful trained Jedi when they are too attached to someone and can't let it go. It seems to me like that is just sort of shouting out to the hills. When we're meeting Ahsoka there, she is in trauma, unprocessed trauma about what happened to Anakin. What does that mean for her? What does that mean for the Force? What does that mean for the Jedi? So when I see Anakin appearing, all I hear is this is a way to move Ahsoka forward from her trauma.
This is a spectacular point. It's the why of Ahsoka or the why of Anakin returning. And it's probably too far out for us to really kind of predict this, but the themes of what they could explore, and that would be a great spot to pick up on from the Ahsoka, not to say pick up on like moving forward, literally the timeline. I think you're right to point out this could be anywhere. But yeah. Let's not forget the title of the show. It is an Anakin. It is an Anakin and Ahsoka, and it's a fun, I'll say, tidbit right now. And I hope we get more than just a cameo or a little one-off flashback. I think we will, but yeah, about what it means for Ahsoka and where she is in her journey, the why of this, and if could it be about processing trauma, letting people go yourself, accepting that you couldn't do anything, and some sort of forgiveness, redemption in this weird kind of afterlife idea. There's a lot to explore with Ahsoka. That's a great point.
Yeah, and to me, it is the tradition of the Force spirits. It's the philosophy of the Force spirits that they hold on to their identity in a selfless way so they can continue to help and guide the people who still need it, the next generation, right?
Yeah.
So that is what makes me feel like, yeah, of course Anakin's not going to show up and go, all right, here's the list fans have had about me being a Force spirit. Here's how I did it. Here's this, you know, here's that. Any information that Anakin would communicate about himself as a Force spirit, in my opinion, would be as an aid to move Ahsoka forward, right?
Yeah.
Obi-Wan only tells Luke all of the important stuff during their log conversation because he needs to understand Luke to understand where he is coming from so Luke can move forward.
Yeah. 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 Look, it's a little bit of I'm definitely not saying this to temper anyone's super excitement about Anakin.
No,
we're going to talk about that in a second, but it reminds me a little bit, just listening to stuff you're saying here and piggybacking on that with you. It's a little bit of like fan edits of all the Force ghosts showing up to help Rey, where I'm like, don't forget, this is about Rey and Rey's story and Rey's journey. That's very important to us as Star Wars fans, and to not let the excitement wash away these characters who are experiencing folks. And that works for me in Solo as well. You know, a lot of the characters there, you and I have discussed before, there to serve the story of Solo for better or worse. So I think that's a great reminder, but we're not saying that to temper excitement. We want more excitement because it means there's a reason. Dave Filoni is not the type of dude that would say, let's just shoehorn this in. He's proven that time and time again.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he will want to do a flashback because he can and it's cool. And after all those years of working with Anakin and Ahsoka, to be able to, you know, maybe with some digital de-aging, whatever, to do a flashback, that'd be cool. But in terms of any sort of Force spirit moving forward, yeah, it is only going to serve the story. I think you're so right to point that out. I think fans can and should be excited about anything. I'm thrilled about Anakin. Mm-hmm. But I think there is also this thing that I think you're right to point out, that the trailer for Rise of Skywalker, you know, literally has Luke Skywalker saying 1,000 generations live in you, but this is your fight. You know, that's saying very clearly,
yeah,
this is Rey's story. You know, don't expect this to suddenly be resolved by Force Ghost Anakin, you know?
Right.
And I think that spirit of absolutely being excited about whatever you want, having whatever predictions you want, but, you know, reading the tea leaves that are given to you, you know, and I think for myself, my own reading of the tea leaves is Anakin will be there to move Ahsoka's story forward.
Yeah. Processing trauma is a very intriguing one to me, a very powerful potential theme. Again, you and I, we're very, very far out from that, but that's potentially good use. Let's talk about the actual Anakin being back, Hayden being back. We got him in the Kenobi series. This we know. That's confirmed. We got him walking around with a crew hat on and a crew jacket. So I'm going to ask this question. Again, not to temper excitement or maybe to stoke more excitement. Is this too much Anakin Hayden back? Is it too little? Where do you kind of stand on what we're getting right now with this Hayden-essence that's going on?
I think it is absolutely great. I'm totally thrilled for it. I don't think it's too much. You know, by the time these shows come out, they're probably going to be a year apart. I don't think they're going to be literally connected. I don't think it'd be like, oh, yeah, right. This Sith artifact that Vader mentions in the Kenobi series actually comes up in the Ahsoka series. Like, I don't think it's going to be like plot connected. But I think, like, your great turn of phrase, Ken, that we use often, emotional canon, I think they're going to be absolutely connected emotionally. If Kenobi ends up being the story of Obi-Wan coming to terms with his belief that Anakin is gone, he is Vader, he is a different being, he has been consumed by the dark side, and then Ahsoka is trying to find her way forward with that belief, with that trauma, and then gets to have the realization that isn't the whole story. Like, there's a direct emotional connection there. And for me, it's not too much. It's, you know, the Skywalkers, Anakin in particular, is one of these sort of the big bangs of Star Wars that all other storytelling is radiating out from, you know? So, yeah, no, I don't think it's too much to have the big bang of Star Wars.
Yeah.
I did not expect myself to work into that metaphor. I think the big bang of Star Wars should be in two different Star Wars shows, at least.
Yeah. What made me even ask this question, I have not seen it prevalent online, but I've got some offline Star Wars fans, and this kind of flows into this next question I'm going to present to us here, Joseph, but some of them are kind of like confused. Like, why are we doing, why is there, I mean, these are folks that are like, do we need a Kenobi story? We're out of ideas. Is that what, we're just out of ideas? We can't create new characters. There's that kind of train of thought, and Anakin kind of, and even specifically Hayden coming back fuels that. But I am of the mind of almost too little, where I'm almost saying this half joking, but if in 2024 we're going to get you know, Anakin, the 6-part miniseries of some adventure we have not heard about in the Clone Wars era or something like that. And Hayden's going to lead that. I'd be like excited to explore because of what you said. Big Bang Anakin, which probably has ramifications outside of Star Wars. I said it out loud and it didn't sound good the moment it hit the mic.
I hear you.
Yeah. But Anakin is a very rather, I'd say, important character in Star Wars. To continue to explore more, I know the Skywalker saga is done and wrapped, but I personally never really believed that in terms of the shows, books, and comics, movies, maybe. There's something there. That's why I come down on the side of too little. But I also want to ask you what does this say about the prequel era, particularly the prequel era fans? I do have some friends who are checking in with me because they're a little confused. Their general train of thought, Joseph, is, I thought we determined these movies sucked and Hayden was bad, didn't we? And years later, it's surprise. No, that was never the case for a lot of fans of that generation.
Yeah, I mean, here's my big picture thing on this is I really hope that spending more time in the general prequel era with Ewan back and Hayden back and, Ahsoka having her own show, I really hope that that will encourage people who are still don't enjoy the prequels to look at them from a different point of view and engage with what's there and see if they can enjoy them more. I really hope that.
Yeah.
I suspect that this Hayden Sans will probably just make people double down on some of the opinions that we're familiar with. One of them being, I think people who grew up with the prequels and love them, I think people who came to Star Wars through the sequels and don't have a lot of baggage about the prequels. They might have opinions or whatever, but I think, we've heard from some fans who came to Star Wars through the sequels and are like, what? It's all Star Wars. It's great.
Right.
So I think the people who are in those places, like this is, Halloween, New Year's, Christmas, this is a thousand holidays all in one. Great. This is joyful. Wonderful. And I think maybe on the other side, we'll get a little bit more doubling down of the, if Hayden is really great in these shows, which I think he's going to be, yeah. I think we might hear more of the like, the prequel era is great and those actors were good, but it's too bad the movies just didn't work. The actors are good, I guess. And, and I like the Clone Wars, so the era is cool, but the movies are no.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. I didn't even think about that angle of, see, this just proves the dialogue and the acting was, under bad direction.
Yeah. And, again, whatever opinion people have is their opinion and they have every right to it. But I think it might double down on that opinion.
Yeah. But on the flip side is this, what I'm kind of viewing it, I want to get your thoughts on this justification for their love and there being the prequel generation fans. I think of my pal, your pal, Roxy Stryer, who even tweeted it out this week because she has been carrying the flame for Hayden as Anakin for a long time. My partner, Grace, she's a Star Wars fan. She is a prequel era fan who watched the original trilogy, loved the original trilogy, still is there, but loves Darth Maul, loves Hayden, like almost too much where I have to like pull her back. Be like, hey, I'm on the couch with you here, honey.
Okay. I shouldn't be saying Hayden Big Bang Christensen around Grace.
Noted. Correct. but even Roxy tweeted out an old Jedi Alliance appearance. This is when I was hosting the show after Mod had left before you took over, Joseph, where I had her and her pal Sarah Stretton on and they were unabashedly just pro Hayden Star Wars fans. And I was at a bit of different time. I'd done a lot of growing even in that show, Jedi Alliance caused me to kind of decide, do I want to be an older generation grump or do I want to start seeing Star Wars through many different perspectives and try to connect with where I can connect and foster growth? I made that conscious decision and some of it was these type of shows. So I almost cringed to go back and watch that episode, but I might've been teasing them a little bit too much, but she tweeted out of like, F yeah, I've been waiting for this. You all just didn't get on board. So what do you feel about just kind of this weird justification for the flame being carried for so long by the prequel fans?
I think it's great. I think it is just really wonderful for people who have always been on board, all of the prequel kids who've always been on board, the Roxy Stryers of the world, to really get time to just unabashedly enjoy an actor, a performance, a character that they like. That's thrilling. And for me, somebody who has been grumpy over the years, But it is like the teabag. I try to use my energy to build, not destroy these days. You know, really looking back for me and really analyzing the prequels, and you know, I find so much depth in them, so much fun in them. And when I look back at Hayden's performance, I think, for my opinion, I would have taken some more moments in Anakin's character in Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith, where we see the charming Jedi Knight hero. That there are a lot of moments where he is, you know, in turmoil, in rage. And I wanted to see, even back in the day, just a little bit more of, I love the beginning of Revenge of the Sith when he's so determined to, he's bantering with Obi-Wan, but he's really determined to save him. And like, ah, there's that hero, that brother that Obi-Wan misses. So I'm saying all this to say, I had this baggage of, I wanted to see more of this specific tone in the films. I got buckets of it in the Clone Wars animated series with Anakin. But none of that has to do with Hayden's performance. Everything that he was asked to do, even lines that I'm like, ah, does Anakin have to be creepy there? He nailed it. That's what was written. That's the story that was being conveyed. He's in turmoil. He's angry. You know, he has great moments of charm. He has great moments of terror and turmoil. And I think Hayden does a great job with all of it.
No, I agree. And that's looking back and plugging in a little differently than I did back in the day. And I think it's just, as Star Wars fans, it raises an interesting conversation in the sense of speaking directly to some of the older fans, because it's still a battle. It's probably always going to be a battle, but life is a series of changes. And I am at a point in my life where I'm not here to fight change. I'm here to find my place in that change. And that includes a lot of Star Wars stuff. And what can you bring? What perspective can you bring to help help foster a love of Star Wars if you're really involved and invested in it as much as we are? And I know a lot of you listening are. And so it's been an interesting, just looking the lay of the land of general excitement. I mean, online, it seems like there's a ton of excitement for this. Even the Kenobi one was a little more, I don't know, seemed like I saw a little more dubious reactions. Do we need to see Vader and Kenobi again? And that probably ties into what you feel about lines and dialogue and stuff in the original trilogy. But this one, a lot more people open it, probably because there's a giant generation of fans who Clone Wars was their first Star Wars, number one.
Right, yeah.
And this is not the Eckstein Lanter version of it, but the Dawson Christensen version will be interesting as well. So anyways, all to say, I don't want to get off on some weird soapbox on the side. Just I'm excited to continue to move forward with the rest of the Star Wars fans.
Yeah, I don't think your soapbox is on the side. I think it is right in the center. It's a big bang soapbox because it is one of the themes of Star Wars that things change, things evolve, situations repeat themselves, but the next generation faces that challenge and finds a way to move forward. And it's funny to me that we see that in, you know, the harsh reactions to the prequels and the harsh reaction to the sequels. And I think what you said about wanting not to resist change, but find your place in it. I think that's beautiful. And I think that's a great thing that we can get out of being Star Wars fans. This sort of fact, quote unquote fact, that you and I lived with for a long time, that the prequels are bad. Yeah. That's that's blowing away in the wind. It's the generation below us that is far, far more of the voices out there, as it should be.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't wait to hear, Everybody who is open to change and or always loved the prequels to celebrate Hayden's return.
Yeah. And we'll see. We'll see where it all lands down. Any other final thoughts here on Ahsoka and Anakin together again?
No, it just makes me even more excited for this series.
Yeah. I'll tell you where I'm at. I'm at, can we start Boba Fett? Because I'm excited for that show. Can we just get this going? We got a string of great Star Wars content shows. There's a movie soon down the line. We got some great stuff coming. Not even factoring in the wonderful High Republic era publishing, the comics, everything kind of going good. Some new books coming in. We got some of those books we talked about that are related to Luke and Lando and all those kind of things. But I am so ready for this new era to just explode out of our Disney Plus subscriptions.
Yes, so there's going to be some more bangs.
Speaking of Big Bags, man, Hasbro PulseCon, big figure bonanza, big bang of new figures. Here we go. We got a bevy of this and other things to talk about here. Let's go into the 6-inch and 3 3/4 vintage line of figures and sets. We got some new ones making waves, a lot from Mandalorian. I will run down a couple choices here. We got the Mandalorian and Grogu Maldu crest scene. This is where you got the freaky spiders. We got that one. We got Cobb Vanth. So if you wanted Timothy Oliphant as a Star Wars figure, you got that. If you wanted Bill Burr as a Star Wars figure, you're getting that with Mayfeld in the AT. Migs Mayfield in disguise. I don't know.
The Juggernaut tank driver.
There you go. And what might be my favorite, Boba Fett in Tython action. This is old man Fett with a cloak. Robe, some of the choices there. Then we got some play sets. Joseph, what's jumping out of you, these collections, 3 3/4 or 6-inch?
Man, there's a lot of great stuff here. I scrolled through the whole list. I was paying attention as some people were live tweeting this when it happened. And I'm very, very tempted by some of the Black Series figures, even though I don't collect. But I realized when I scrolled all the way to the bottom of this announcement that the Mando and Grogu with ice spiders and eggs is available from Black Series and vintage.
That's right. Yes. I'm scrolling down and reminding myself of that too. That is great.
Yeah. And I am the Black Series figures are great, but I will always be a 3 3/4 fan first myself, just because of my own tradition, and the Black Series take up a lot of space. There's a part of me that's just sort of amused by, like, I understand Mando is popular. They got the mold for him. They got the mold for Grogu. So it makes sense to do variations of, like, this Mando has a little bit of ice on his armor and he comes with spiders and an egg. But it's so cool. It's just, I already have a Mando and Grogu in 3 3/4 together in a pack. But I need this. I want them slowly but surely to make everything that the child Grogu eats. Yes. And you can just line up a Grogu buffet, which is so very, very excited about that one. Mm-hmm. If they don't make a vintage Boba Fett Tython, I might have to break down and get the Black Series. Navarro Cantina is really cool. I wish it came with the client, that, you know.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. So this is the 6-inch. No, this is a vintage.
The 3 3/4,
Vintage collection, Navarro Cantina set. Just what looks like a classic old Star Wars kind of Kenner playset, which is the point and why we love it. But I thought this was a perfect opportunity for the client. A Werner Herzog Star Wars figure needs to happen, and this was an opportunity. Yeah, that would have been flying off the shelves.
Yeah, look, there's libations right there, so he can, you know, celebrate the sharing of closed narratives. The closing of shared narratives. Well, come on, that's what I want to do with an action figure set, is celebrate the closing of shared narratives.
I haven't thought about that line in a while. That may be the greatest line in Star Wars ever.
It's way, way up there. Last two for me that I'm real excited about is the Ahsoka, the vintage Ahsoka. Mm-hmm. I got the great vintage Clone Wars Anakin and Obi-Wan, so I'd love to get that Ahsoka to match. And then finally, the Attack of the Clones era Obi-Wan vintage figure. That figure looks great. It's fun. It's exciting. But the thing that excited me about it is remembering these figures are being announced for 2022, 20th anniversary of Attack of the Clones. And I think, as all these different announcements come out at different events, that we're going to get a lot more cool toys from Attack of the Clones.
Yeah. Oh, we might get that Dexter Jester, Dex's Diner playset we've always been wanting.
Oh, please. Like, I want a HasLab massive project that we can, you know, go back into the kitchen with Dex. It comes with Hermione Bagwalk. Come on, let's do it all the way.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great. Those are some great choices there. I do like the kind of random, the random 6-inch play sets, or not play sets, but the figure collections where you got like droids. It's a battle droid. It's a pit droid. It's K2SO. It's BB-8 unit, actually the CB unit. And then Babu Frick. It's so wonderfully random. And they got the creatures one with a Minoc and a Porg and to Kawaki, Monkey Lizard, and then you got Hux. Like, I love it because I love Hux, but it's like, I don't know if there's a great demand for Hux, but we got it. We got a place, you know, a figure collection of Hux. I just kind of love the random of all that.
Yeah, I like it too. And I think, are these Galaxy's Edge sets?
It could be. Could be. I'm trying to read on the fly here, even though I did do my notes here. But yeah, it's not really saying in this.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, because, yeah. But no, it's great to see a nice Black Series Hux. I not know off the top of my head all of the Hux availability when it comes to Black Series. But this is a great one.
Yeah, and yeah, I still collect the 6-inch as much. So I also just think I made the Timothy Oliphant reference, but I do think it's great to see Cobb Vanth just make that journey from page to screen to figure. It just kind of is, it's quite an impressive journey for that character. And as those of us who've been reading the book since 2014, when the new modern era launched, it's just kind of fun to see that.
Yeah, no, I think that is absolutely great. I'm glad that Mandalorian clearly has the popularity they feel to drive these new molds and to put out lots of the characters. Cause that makes me feel like, well, we're going to keep getting more characters from Mandalorian. I understand the realities for it, but every time there's one of these announcements, I'm a little bummed that there aren't some more sequel era characters. For myself, particularly in Vintage, you know, I love a Ben Solo, Restored Empire, mm-hmm. Luke and Leia training on Agent Kloss, you know, Claude with 0 points of articulation.
The first soft mold figure. It's just a gushy, you know, Stay Puft Marshmallow Man figure. Yeah. In addition to figures, we got some cool things as well. Two big things to talk about here. We've got the Star Wars The Black Series Leia Organa Force FX Elite lightsaber. This is available fall 2022. Man, I haven't been picking these up. I don't have a lot of lightsabers on display in my house, but this one I do believe is going to be added to my collection. I love this one, Joseph.
Yeah, if I start fully collecting these, this will be one of the first purchases. This is so great. This has been, you know, something that fans have been really clamoring for. Mm-hmm. I think this is great to see some Rise of Skywalker stuff in that. It's cool because it's Leia's saber, right? Mm-hmm. But it's also like that. It's just a beautiful saber.
No, low-key, this is probably one of my favorite lightsaber designs of all time. I just love everything about it. That was that rose gold there. Everything about it looks great. It just worked for me.
Yeah, the sort of triple rings at the emitter is really different and cool. I love it. Absolutely love it. I'm so glad it exists because I know so many people want it. It's going to fly off the shelves.
Yes, and into my storage shed as well. And then the final one here, we know Hasbro has been finding some success in getting some crowdfunding going for these big ideas. And so HasLab has the Rancor one going, and we now know that the HasLab Rancor, which will be, again, to the 6-inch scale, is going to be running from October 22nd. So actually, by the it's now. You can start doing now. Do it now after you listen. We're running to December 6th, if successful. It will begin shipping in spring 2023. Joseph, I know you contributed already to the Razor Crest. You going to add this one to your contributions list?
No, unless it comes with a new apartment or a storage space as one of the extras, one of the add-ons.
Yeah. Support at the top tier and get a new lease.
Yeah. For just $100 more, we will give you a museum. Awesome. Great. Yeah, no, seriously, the Razor Crest has been delayed from their original assessment, which is I don't mind at all. Take their time. Obviously, there's a lot going on in the world that might affect plastic. Yeah. But they posted that photo of Jon Favreau with it, and I was like, oh man, it's even bigger than I thought. Like, I'm going to have to redo my apartment to accommodate the Razor Crest. So I have a little bit of relief of like, I can't do the Rancor.
Did you have a little bit of that Joe Bluth, I've made a huge mistake kind of feel when you looked at the Razor Crest?
A little bit of that of like, what have I done? And they just immediately starting to think about like, okay, can I suspend it from the ceiling with wire? Like I have to admit, like it was, I love the HasLab idea. I love the like, we're going to do something bonkers and, you know, pay for it. Like, so if people want it, and like, a Rancor at that scale, at the 6-inch scale, I think it's so cool. And I have to be honest, I was just a little relieved that it was not something that was like, I have to have it.
Yeah, no, I get
for myself.
I get you. I looked at that Racer Crest long and hard, but I'm going to have to be happy with my Lego version, which takes up an entire top shelf here at my office. But hey, this is a final question. I love kind of wrap this up. I know the answer, but I just kind of like to touch base with you and all of those people listening. We're years into the Disney era now. You could say 6 or 7 in terms of content. Obviously, we're coming up on 10 years of the sale next year, which is crazy. We're in the Disney era. Are we still excited for all of these wonderful toys?
Yes. Yes. hugely. You know, you were saying some good things about Evolution. You know, I accept that the way action figures work, their marketing, you know, how you get them, all that evolves. But for me, they still light that same fire of, you know, wandering into a Target, you know, at different ages of my life and seeing what's around the corner and having this way to connect to Star Wars. I loved that still exists, even though it changes and evolves.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And it's hard. I've talked a lot about it, and I make the, you know, I make jokes about the storage space, the money, the allowance money. All those are real life factors. And we know a lot of you listening run into those same kind of obstacles. But if I make a run to a Target or a store and then there's a toy aisle, I always look and there's always like that feeling of like there's like a bunch of 6-inch and 3¾ grief cargas at my local Target, which just breaks my heart. And so eventually I'm just going to have to buy it because I just want to show my support for Grief Karga and Carl Weathers. And it's like me as a Star Wars fan, just every time I see it, I just get excited to see these things in packages and just kind of, it does represent our love of this stuff. And that's why, in this era, it's been fun, even though I can't collect as much as I was even 3 years ago.
Yeah, no. And I need to be really, really selective because the piles are getting high. Yeah. But you saw Vintage Grief in person?
Yes. Yeah, I did see it. It's that one, you know, it's the one nearby me.
Yeah, no, I know. Okay. Well, yeah. All right. I can't record anymore today, Ken. I got to go.
Justin's got to go. Well, yeah, we can talk off air. I got to go pick up some peanut butter and some tuna later, not together. If it's there, we could arrange a pickup.
Okay.
So that's there. That's a look at Star Wars news. Just a couple of stories. There's some other things out there. As always, some High Republic, the poster, everything, a lot of things discussed. Feel free to dive in with your own friends as we choose these stories to focus on today. Joseph, we're about to take a break and get to our questions, but we got our Force Center recommends an audiobook we want all of you to consider trying out on us. Joseph, what do we have?
We are recommending Ronin by Emma Miko Kanden. This is a book inspired by the Star Wars Visions film, The Duel. A very, very different kind of book to be published. And I think it's great to have a ton of variety. So you can check out the audiobook if you so desire.
If you so desire, do it. Download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. Quick break. When we come back, your questions here on ForceCenter.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to Force Center, episode 369 of the big show, the main show, the superstar destroyer of our fleet. The Razor Crest of our Star Wars toy collection. Clear some room for it here. Joseph, what are our questions today?
We got 2 questions from Twitter and 2 questions from patrons on Patreon. As always, we go first to Twitter. This question comes to us from Broom Kid. Thanks, Broom Kid. With Star Wars Celebration right around the corner, merely 7 months away, are there any Force Center plans for the event? Thank you for the question about our little plans in our corner of the little Star Wars world. So, Ken, I think we've talked about it before, but we should revisit as it's getting ever closer. I'm sure more announcements are coming. We are all set for Star Wars Celebration in that we have hotel rooms, but we do not have tickets. I just missed the deadline myself. Yeah. I was like, okay, I got to do that. And then by the time I got to it, juggling all the other stuff, the tickets were gone. Yeah. So there are ways to get tickets. We really don't know. You know, obviously with the celebration having shuffled, we had applied to do a couple panels. We're waiting. We haven't heard any updates of if we need to reapply or if, you know, they'll get back to those original applications. So we got hotel rooms and we're working on the other parts of it.
I think transparency definitely works in this scenario. We're going to be there. Usually you can find a way when you're kind of covering Star Wars, you get in. And you and I have been fortunate in the past to either be on panels, host panels, to be part of media teams. So we'll find a way. But even if we're not, I'm not worried because that Anaheim setup, I remember 2015 one, the convention finds its way to other parts of Anaheim. And there's things to do in terms of, you know, there's been talk, early talk of a comedy show. Is Force going to do something? I don't know. It's a lot of work. Venues are obviously a concern. And Anaheim can be pretty big and sprawling if you're not too careful of where you're choosing to hold events and everything. So we're going to work that all out. But at the very least, I will be hanging out at that Lego store or the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company all around the street on Catella. Like, we'll be there, Joseph. We'll be there. We'll let you all know in what capacity.
Yeah, exactly. I think, full transparency, you know, in the last Star Wars celebration in Chicago, we did an event, and it was partially because a venue, someone came forward with a great offer for a venue and made it very easy for us to do an event. So there's the possibility of an event. There's the possibility of a meetup. If we do indeed get tickets, if you look on the floor at action figures, I will probably be there. and I'm sure Ken will be as well. So there's plenty of opportunities. The other thing I wanted to say about this, it isn't directly to Broom Kid's question, but just a reminder with that Obi-Wan action figure. One of the things I'm really excited for in celebration is celebrating the 20th anniversary of Attack of the Clones. Mm-hmm. We just did our Star Wars Ranked episode about our favorite lines. And it was just another reminder to me that, you know, well, that film is often the one that people struggle with the most. It is one of I just love it.
Yeah.
I love how weird it is. I love how much lore is in it. And I'm really looking forward to celebrating Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. There's something about that crazy movie that just pulls me in more and more and more. We just had fun doing that Star Wars Ranked. And if you guys haven't had a chance to listen to it, quite frankly, I'm pretty proud of the stuff we talked about on that episode of the Attack of the Clones. So check it on out there. And I'm looking forward to it. It's crazy. It's 7 months away. It's a weird, still weird time. We'll see. We'll see.
I think that's a part of it for me too, of like plans. Like, you know, in the before times, if this was 5 years ago, I'd be like 7 months out. Okay, well, we'll talk to this person. We'll negotiate this. And like 7 months away, that feels like, you know, 87 major life and world events away. You know, I think there's just, for me, I just have some of this tentative, like, we do not know exactly what's around the corner. So
yeah,
that's a part of it for me too, at least in my mind.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts, Ken?
No, other than looking forward to it. However, and if on the off chance it's canceled, Joseph, we got some nice hotel rooms and Disneyland is across the street. So
we'll we'll hang out at Galaxy's Edge. Move on to a question from Alejo. Alejo asks, says, congratulations. You two have been chosen to create a zoo for the galaxy. Mm. Which creatures would you choose to awe your guests? Ken, you're a big zoo fan. What would your Star Wars zoo be like?
Yeah, I am. I do love zoos. I know sometimes that could be, sometimes not the favorite answer for some folks, but I think they do some great work overall. LA Zoo is a great zoo. I'm a member there. I go often and just relax and just hang out with the animals and do some riding or snack. So I thought about this and, you know, you definitely need to go, like the meerkats are real popular at the LA Zoo. The meerkats draw a big crowd. Standing up there, staring up garden, basically staring back at us going back off. But they look cute doing it. So I was trying to think of that. And, you know, porks come to mind. You can give all those answers. But here's where I went. And I hope I don't step on any of your choices, too. But I had three choices because it's about to awe your guest. You definitely got to have a Blurgs there. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely got to have Blurgs. They're the best. They're the kind of rise in popularity of the Blurgs, thanks to Mando. They've been around for a bit, going back to those Ewoks adventure movies, right? That would draw a crowd. And then you got to have some Vulptexes hanging out there.
Yeah.
That's going to be your cute factor in a special section of the salt section of the zoo. But the one for me, and this, this again, it touches the line of, you know, are we conserving these animals, watching them, or are they making them all just entertainment? I understand, because I've been to some zoos where I used to be able to ride camels or elephants, and I know that's not always the way, and a lot of those places don't do that anymore. But I do want to put this one out, Joseph. Special Tauntaun racing event. some domesticated Tauntauns. You get to, for a price, an additional ticket price, race Tauntauns with your family members.
Oh, that would be great. Because I would think even if they're trained, some Tauntauns would just stop.
Oh, yeah.
The racer's like, nah.
Yeah.
I'm not vibing with this person.
Oh, the release forms you'd have to sign would be, you know, almost overwhelming. But I'd love to just see a Tauntaun in real life.
Yeah. This is such a great question. And yeah, I know exactly what you mean of the, you know, the there's a lot going on with zoos in terms of what is best for animals. But if I got to be involved with a galactic zoo, I would try to make sure it was great.
Yeah.
For the animals. It's very hard not to list almost all the animals. But I definitely Blurgs.
Yes.
I would like Blurgs to be in a very large habitat along with Porgs, because I just think Porgs and Blurgs, it's fun to say together, and I think they'd get along.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see some of the Porgs like intentionally annoying some of the Blurgs. It'd be fun to watch.
Yeah, just hanging out on them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not riding them, but just like, this is where I'm sitting today, on the back of a Blurg. And a Blurg being pretty cool with that. I would like in a big Jurassic Park-like setting, just totally running free, and you have to, like, you know, ride a hovercraft above their terrain. I would love to see a Viractyl running wild and free.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's great.
Yeah. And making those great noises. I love the weird horn cry of Boga the Viractyl in Revenge of the Sith. Borgullet.
Oh, yeah.
Just because I kind of want to know more about Borgullet, and feel like that would be great if you know, one of the employees at the zoo could tell me a little bit more about Borgullet. I love your idea of the Volptices, I believe, plural. Mm-hmm. That any employee who needs to be near their area would just be going mad with a constant jingling.
Yes. Oh God. Yeah. It's all I hear.
Jingles everywhere. My last two, Minox. I would love to see Minox, and that they would be caged. Cage is not great. They would be an environment with a bunch of electronic equipment. So you could like go to the Minox feeding and they would just like, throw a bunch of tech out, and Minox would just descend and you could just watch them.
Yeah.
Suck electronic components dry.
Love it.
Chew on the power cables. Final one is one of the great beasts that I sometimes forget about because they've only appeared in limited places, but I would love to see, especially to awe the guest, a quacking ape lizard.
Oh, big time. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Monkey lizards, of course, great, but they're much larger kin, the quacking ape lizard that we saw in that episode of Resistance. That would be awe-inspiring, to say the least.
That would be, absolutely.
Great question, Alejo. Shall we move on to patrons on Patreon, Ken?
I'll leave the tauntauns behind, yep.
Excellent. So we got a question from Rebecca Chapin. Rebecca says, greetings, Force Center friends. I have a music question for you. At the end of my Star Wars playlist, I've included a couple of songs that don't appear in the movies or shows, but that I enjoy just as much as the work of all the composers who have graced the franchise with their talents. These are, of course, Weird Al Yankovic's Yoda and The Saga Begins. If Weird Al were to write songs for any other Star Wars content, sequel trilogy, Mandalorian, Clone Wars, etc., what would you like it to be? What scene or storyline would you want it to cover? And what song would you want him to parody? This is a very, very fun and challenging question. Ken, I did want to ask you, what is your relationship with Weird Al Yankovic, and in particular, his two big Star Wars songs, Yoda and The Saga Begins?
Yeah, I am a fan of Weird Al. I always have been. I think in a way I've moved past parody as a comedy form of choice for me, but Weird Al lives in a special spot. I think he's very talented. He and his band and weirdly enough, he went to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, which is a college nearby my hometown. So there was always kind of a weird, we all kind of claimed him in a way, you know, like he recorded some of his early songs and he'd send to Dr. Domeno in the Cal Poly bathroom there at the, you know, one of the dorms or whatever. So there's always that kind of connection. So I used to listen to him a lot. I'm actually a big fan of the movie UHF, I believe Spatula City, my friend, Spatula City. So I actually love it. Saga Begins is obviously based off of Don McLean's American Pie. It's a great, it's just a great song. It's a great tune. And is part of my memory of the hype for Phantom Menace. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I do have a positive relationship there.
Yeah, no, I big fan of Weird Al in general. Like Weird Al, the Yoda song in particular is, it's amazing to reflect on because I love Star Wars, but it was there were toys and there were Dixie cups and everywhere, but it was just kind of its thing. And this crossover, like I'm listening to the radio and someone is singing about Yoda. How could this even be possible? Yeah. The album Dare to Be Stupid is one of the first albums I ever owned. I love that song. Was, you know, in some ways it's amazing now to think like, oh, well, that is like a Venn diagram of many of my life interests.
Yes.
Comedy and Star Wars. And The Saga Begins, maybe Vader someday later, you know, that you're so right. It was such a huge part of the hype and the whole story that he like, I think I figured out the plot. I think I got it right. Yeah, I nailed it. It's such a great behind the scenes story of a song.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And a partner that I lived with for a while before my wife, Sarah, and I were together, huge Weird Al fan. So that I really got to experience deep, deep Weird Al love from that friend, which was absolutely great.
Yeah.
So moving on to our selections that Rebecca asks, what do you got, Ken?
I'm almost ill prepared because you can go anywhere because obviously Weird Al does a lot of current song parodies. It's one of his strengths over the years. And I, you know, I have a music show. You guys can listen to pop rock and radio if you want. So I'm listening to current music without a doubt. I'm not some old, out of touch man. All right. But I was trying, you know, Saga Begins again. That's going back a few years in 99, going back to Don McLean's hit. So my first spot was Grogu, and we're going to do Dear Grogu based off of Dear Prudence by the Beatles. Dear Grogu, won't you come out to play? Hey, hey. I think we can start there.
And in whose perspective is it written from? Is it just the general cultural reaction to Grogu, or is it?
I think so. Yes, great. Yes, and that's a great idea. It's all of us wanting Grogu to come out and play. Put aside those eggs. I think you can do this. Macaroons are space blue. You go from there.
That is really, really great. Now I want to hear a bunch of Beatles covers.
That's kind of my main one. What do you got?
Yeah. Why don't we force choke in the road? Yeah. There's a lot of great ones. I went to some more recent within the last 5 years or so songs. I like Taylor Swift's songs, Look What You Made Me Do, because it's, you know, it's really got this kind of energy to it that's, you know, angry and frustrated. Yeah. And that made me think of Palpatine.
Yes, yes.
I like the idea of a Taylor Swift cover from Palpatine's perspective. So I would like a Palpatine song that he is, it's really set when he is still trapped on Exegol. It's based on Look What You Made Me Do, and it's called Look What You Made Me Clone.
This is great. I was going to possibly toss back Lady Gaga's Paparazzi as Palpatine, but this works better.
I love Paparazzi, though, the song. So that would be great, too. And then I think we went to, for my second one, we went to a very similar place of I want a song where Din is missing Grogu.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
That's exactly the kind of thing I think that that Weird Al really excels at when the parodies are from this great perspective, and just like the concept of the song makes you laugh before you even hear it.
Yeah.
So I want a song about Grogu. It's Din singing, and it is a parody of Adele's Hello.
Yes.
So those are my two choices. I limited myself to two. Do you have more?
No, I could have gone so many places. Like I said, I felt ill prepared. There was just my mind went to so many places it went blank. But I was Dear Prudence, one of my favorite songs. I'll turn that to Dear Grogu any day of the week.
Yeah, that is a great one. I would love to hear it. And who knows, maybe we will someday. We can all hope. Our next question comes from Patrick McMullen. Patrick says, I love the animated extended Star Wars universe. And I'm especially looking forward to a droid story. If you could have any animated series or movie, what would it be? I would go with a series focusing on the adventures of Poe and BB-8. Thanks for all the awesome insights into our beloved galaxy far, far away. Where do you go with this, Ken? What are you excited to possibly see? You know, we've got Bad Batch rolling, a droid story coming. I'm still not exactly clear on what a droid story is, so I'm really excited to find out more. Right. But there's probably things in development as we speak. What are you hoping they are?
It's funny because Patrick's question, especially with the droid story, I don't know. And so I suddenly, I went the direction of one-off kind of, not kids movies, but just kind of fun, bouncy animated Star Wars movies would be intriguing for me. And I don't even know. Droid Story could be as serious films, Star Wars films can be. Who knows? But I don't assume that's the case. I think I would love to see, we don't know a lot of Yoda in the High Republic yet. He's off doing things. So give me a side story of Yoda and the younglings on a, you know, study abroad trip, whatever's going on there. Would love to see and not have to deal with any of the ramifications of what's going on, unless you need to at the end of the story. But I'd love to see. I'm intrigued by younger Yoda teaching. I can't wait till maybe he's pulled in a little bit more into the High Republic. But I'd love to see Yoda doing a thing, kind of non-wartime, non-drama going around. Just Yoda doing what he loves to do, which is teaching the future of Jedi.
Yeah, no, I really like that. I have a sort of a similar thought. I'm drawn to that, and I'll come back to that in a moment. I think for me, I still do go to some of the kind of just eras and characters that I'd like to spend a little bit more time with. Patrick asks about series or movie, and if it was movie, I'm still banging this drum of I would love an animated film of the 4-issue comic book Rise of Kylo Ren. It's got some great Luke stuff. It's got obviously some quality time with Ben Solo and Kylo Ren and Snoke and connections to the High Republic. It's like there, it's the great stuff with his lightsaber. There's so much great in there that I would like it to reach a wider audience. And we've been talking for years about it'd be great to see a Luke's Academy series with Luke and and young Ben, and you know the Rise of Kylo Ren comic book really establishes like. Luke's got functioning Jedi Knight who are out and about doing things.
Yes.
So there's this real room for a series that could have a Clone Wars like impact, I think, of telling some stories. I think so. I'm excited for that. Just as a fan, I would love that. I understand if maybe there's some hesitation and desire to move forward, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where I go to what you're saying is when I thought about that of like, okay, my first response is always like, ooh, who do I want to see more of? And then I was really thinking about, but what about just brand new? What about just turning the page? And then I was thinking about, it would be great to have an animated series that's set in the High Republic era before the events of the books. So you don't have to worry about it, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe there's a Jedi you know from the books. Maybe it's, you know, Loden Great Storm, you know. Maybe it's super young Blade of Bardotta, you know. But it could also just be like, here are five other Jedi that you haven't met yet. And it's set 50 years before Light of the Jedi. And it's just Jedi having adventures in the galaxy with really no holds barred, you know.
Yeah. Just explore. Yeah. We're already at the give me young Loden point. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I went down this path to be like, you know, just brand new. And then I kept thinking of characters we know. Like,
yeah.
But what about the Padawan years of Avar, Stellan, and Elzar? But I think there is really, I would be excited for any High Republic series, but I'm particularly interested in something that could be set in that era. That publishing side has really shown how much fun it can be to just spend time with Jedi, questioning themselves, challenging themselves. And you know, it'd be great to see that in animated form.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So any more for you?
I want a short film, but it's animated and it's called Elon Sleazebagano Goes Home and Thinks About His Life.
So you rethought your life. Yeah.
Yes. Just him at a table at his house that is a Coruscant apartment going, what have I done? What have I done?
Yeah. Elon Sleazebagano becomes a motivational speaker. I love that. any other thoughts on the future of Star Wars animation?
No, but this does raise a thought by Patrick here of you do have the kind of this potential. And I know everyone's excited about the Marvel What If stuff's going around, a lot of conversation around that. I'm still not I don't need Star Wars What Ifs. I think it just puts me in a weird spot emotionally as a Star Wars fan because I just think it will lead to some debate I don't want to have to hear or pass over. But I think there's potential to do that. And just because of Disney Plus, because it can live there, because I can turn on the biomes and just fly over Ahch-To if I want while I'm doing some work in the background. I think you have a potential, great potential. Just put things out there, let them live, let them be there some, whether it be, you know, adaptations of some of the books or comics that everyone loves, everyone always calls for a Lost Stars, something like that could work, you know, something like that could work. And that's a place to do it. And this is gets you thinking about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it is a great thing to continue to think and hope about. And it's one of those fun ones of like, I am absolutely certain things are being developed as we speak.
Yes.
Animation has a run up time. So it's exciting to think that something is on the horizon, and we are just in this weird state where we don't know it yet.
Yes.
Excited to find out. Great questions this week. Thank you, Patrick, Rebecca, Alejo, and Broom Kid. I don't want to call somebody just Broom, so you get both your names. Broom yeah. Kid. Thanks for all the great questions. That's it, Ken.
I love it. And I love that we got a music question from a Rebecca Chapin, which makes me think of one of my favorite artists, Harry Chapin there. So I love that. All right. Hey, we are the Fort Center Podcast. We are on our way out today, but here's where you can find us and take us with you. We're on Twitter at Fort Center Pod. You can find us on Instagram and YouTube as well. Facebook page is Fort Center Podcast. We're available on a lot of spots, including Anchor, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Amazon Music, Spotify, and more. Merch is available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. Now with this Annika news, it's a good time to maybe get that Speculate Responsibly t-shirt. Patreon.com/ForceCenter is where you can support us directly if you so choose. From there, you can get into our Discord, where this week on the Character of the Week section, we are talking about Anakin Skywalker. A lot of ForceCenter friends on there every day talking about their love of Star Wars. And as always, you can follow me at kenapsok.com or go to my website, kenapsok.com, if you'd like to catch up on other things I'm doing, like comedy. I mentioned my music show. I got a music show on Mixcloud now called Pop Rock and Radio. Great radio show. I'm having a lot of fun doing that. We also like to talk about things that are out there that we throw our support behind. One of the ones I am a member of here is something called the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network. You can connect with them on social media and online and find ways to support, raise awareness for pancreatic cancer. Of course, sadly, that's what took J.W. Rinsler, and it's a tough one. I've lost some friends to that recently, and friends were severely affected by it. So I'm part of the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network. Check it out if you so choose. Joseph.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter. Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can check out my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for all the other things I do and have done, comedy albums out there, shows I've written for, all kinds of stuff like that. And I would like to once again highlight the service ResistBot. You can just Google it or search for it on social media. It is a lot of different ways to interact with it. You can text, you can use social media, but you can just very, very easily write a message to your reps at different levels. You can choose exactly who you want to target to. You write your message, and ResistBot does everything else. So it's very challenging, I think, to be really engaged with what's going on in our world and make time to be engaged with it. And ResistBot is a great, great service where it takes a very short amount of time. If there's something going on that you think is important and you kind of want to put pressure on your reps, so fast and so easy to add your voice to the chorus on an issue that's important to you.
It absolutely is. Full support on that one from me. That is it for this week. Thank you all for listening. So for Weird Al and the Grogu song, I'm sure he's writing right now. We'll see you next time. This has been Force.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.